All right, let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Lord willing, we have much to cover. I believe the Lord is encouraging to get through this chapter tonight, so let's just hold on. And as Brother Ray always used to say, drinking out of that fire hydrant, brother, I pray that and trust him that he'll bring it to us this evening. Now, as we open into this chapter, we're continuing on the thought of the spiritual gifts, which Paul, by the Holy Spirit, brought out to us beginning there in chapter 12, and we're continuing on. But before you begin this, and I appreciate Brother Copley bringing this to the attention, and I know that's just the Lord, it's the 12th verse of this chapter that really is the theme, and I'd like to start by reading that. It says there in the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, it says, "Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts," it's a wonderful thing, these spiritual gifts, "seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Now, you'll read the word edify 8 times in this 14th chapter. And the number 8 is the new creation. And you think about that. That's by His grace, you're a Christian. That's what you are. That's what I am. We are the new creation. And truly, in yielding to that new creation, that edification or promoting spiritual growth, that is, I believe, one of the sweetest definitions and meanings of edify is to promote spiritual growth. This is the theme of this chapter. This is the theme of the spiritual gifts, is edifying the church. And I think when you get that, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit brings that in, any confusion that'll lie within the possibilities of prophecy versus the gift of tongues versus the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all of that will subside, because to understand again, the gifts are to edify the church. What we're talking about here is the spiritual growth, the promotion of the spiritual growth in the church. And in that, I'd like to make mention of this gift of tongues. It's being brought out, obviously it started to be brought out in the 12th chapter. It's being brought out, God willing, tonight in the 14th chapter. But the gift of tongues is for the church, and it's for the church setting. It is written about here in 1 Corinthians. As opposed to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which the evidence of that infilling is speaking in tongues, that is for the individual. And that is the difference here. We're talking about the gift of tongues for the church, in a sense, and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is evidence of that, is speaking in tongues. That is for the individual. And I believe that by His grace, it'll become even more clear and even more line upon line and precept upon precept and verse upon verse and all of these wonderful things that the Word of God establishes in our life this evening. Now, we're going to read mainly about prophecy and the tongues in this chapter. And one thing I want you to notice is there are 7 things mentioned about prophecy, and there are 7 things mentioned about tongues. And this is tongues that is in the church without an interpreter. These are the comments that it's made here. This is tongues in the church without an interpreter. An interpreter. And here are the 7 things it promotes or brings about. Those tongues speak to God. They speak mysteries. Edifies self. Edifies not others. It is a sign to unbelievers. It provokes ridicule. And it's termed childish and confusing. So that's what happens with tongues in the church without an interpreter. So again, this is not speaking of the infilling of the Holy Ghost when we come up here on a Friday night by the grace of God and worship Him individually with our heavenly language. That is not talking of this. This is not what this subject is about. Then, on the other hand, here is what prophecy, the 7 things that prophecy promotes. And I think, again, how perfectly spiritual perfection in this 7 that it speaks of here. Prophecy exhorts. That means it encourages. Prophecy comforts. Prophecy teaches. Prophecy convicts. Prophecy judges. Prophecy reveals the heart's secrets. And last of all, prophecy edifies or promotes spiritual growth. And again, I think of all of those things, and how could you not know, but prophecy is only one and only one thing, and that's the Word of God. All of those things is exactly what the Word of God is and does and promotes in our life. So again, without question, again, the Word of God substantiating itself. So with that, let's begin in the first verse of the 14th chapter. Follow after charity. Now again, last week we were studying the 13th chapter, and Paul again is solidifying the thought that everything has to be built from, everything has to be built on, everything has to be continually built in love. Without it, it's all profitless. It will never profit you anything. The motivation, by the grace of God, it has to be love. I appreciated my dear sister again reminding and encouraging me tonight at dinner. Yes, we want to win him. We want to be in that bride. But love him. Fall in love with Jesus. I appreciated my dear brother who has so many times encouraged me. Son, the only requirement, just be looking for him. If you're in love with him, you'll be looking for him. And I'm going to tell you what a reward when we're looking for him. It is that simple, brothers and sisters. I do know that he has called us to know this word and to get in and to rightfully divide it. But it's love. I never want it to settle here. I want all of that word to filter down and become real to me. I want to love Jesus more and more and more. So, follow after love, the very first thing. Now, and desire spiritual gifts. And again, this is all for today. These gifts are ongoing. And so thankful am I that we are still participating in these wonderful privileges of His gifts. I'm blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. But, he goes on to say, rather, that ye may prophesy. So again, we have the prophecy here that does have a better place than any of the gifts. And the reason is, it is the one gift that so promotes the edification of the church. It promotes the greatest of the spiritual growth within the church. Think about that. What does the Word of God call us to? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to speak? Truth in love. The Word of God again. What has He called us to? What is the very will of God? That all men be saved and come to a full, or the full, the complete, exact knowledge of the truth. It's all about the Word of God. That's what prophecy is. All of those seven things that we spoke about earlier are what prophecy does in our life. It's the Word of God. And again, he's making this so apparent and so blunt. This is the best. Go after it. Going on, verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now that's not a bad thing. I love speaking to the Lord. Don't you love speaking to the Lord? But again, this is in context of edifying the church. And you're going to hear that many, many times. Because by the grace of God, he knows that we're a very, very feeble and weak people. And again and again and again throughout the Word of God, he repeats himself. And just like Brother Paul, 3+ years, speaking night and day those things. And a lot of them still never got it. They were asleep at the wheel. And I pray that we wake up to this great truth. So again, it's not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So again, such profit in that, to converse with God in that manner, with our infilling and that wonderful evidence of infilling, which is the fullness of his wonderful tongues that he gives us. But he that prophesies, here we go, he speaks unto men, to edification, there's that spiritual growth again, and exhortation and comfort. Again, no doubt this is preaching the very word of God. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now let me say something here. A lot of people read that and say, oh, so you're just edifying yourself. What does edify mean? Promoting spiritual growth. Let me tell you something. I want all the spiritual growth to myself that I can get. I don't know about you, but that's what the word called us to. Go get it. It's a wonderful thing. But again, in context of this chapter, he's talking about the love one for another. He's brought us through, think of the earlier chapters, of the oneness that we have in Christ. How that we've been made one in him. That we are his body. That we are compacted, fitted together, tight. Now he's just continuing to bring it on. Now we have the love. And praise God, here we go. Let's participate in that wonderful benefit of my love within the church, within the gifts that the Spirit that I have deemed to give you, partake and see the beauty of it. Praise God. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues. Praise God. But rather that ye prophesy. Now, when he's speaking about all spake in tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, he's talking about, again, the gift of tongues. That this would happen within the church. It's great. We're supposed to pray for these gifts. But even in these two gifts, the gift that he would rather you have is that one of prophesying, because it edifies the church. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Think again. Edify, edifying, edify. And here it is that the reason here now that this gift is so wonderful, it becomes the gift. Because it has the interpretation. It has the prophecy. And I'm so thankful again for this meeting that we've had for these years. Again, Paul is coming back to these Corinthians and correcting so much. By the grace of God, we're just substantiating what we know. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Not that we're already, in a sense, perfect in this. We're growing. We're mature. We're still here. God's still working on us. But it's so wonderful that we don't have to go back and uproot these things. We have it, brothers and sisters, but we need to stand in defense of it and be thankful for what we have. See, this interpretation that it's talking about here, it is in perfect harmony with the word or the prophecy that went out. That's why you'll notice when we do have, for the most part, a gift of tongues, which always has the interpretation with it. It's a complete package in itself. That is the gift. It comes at the end of the message. It comes at a time that's in harmony with what happened. It comes in a time and it comes out that it is the Word of God. That's why he says, except in the case. Brother Copley even brings it out that it might even be a greater thing because it has three gifts in one. It has the tongue, it has the interpretation, and it has to have prophecy because it has to substantiate and be the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? Well, I thought it just meant it was the end of the church service. Okay. But you understand what cloud of witness. How privileged. Aren't you thankful that you believe? And I don't even understand really the reward I'll walk into someday. Because you know what, son, you just believe me. You may, you know, and I'm not even going to say may. I don't fully understand it. You couldn't fully understand all this. It's impossible. Now, we're growing in it. But it's going to take the ages to come to show that exceeding grace of his love toward me. Okay? So, we're moving on. But by the grace of God, I just believe him. And I just continue to believe him. And how he blesses us. How he blesses us. And what he's doing in our lives. And again, in this meeting, I marvel. Because there's faith that's being built. And it's all by grace. And we continue to grow in that wonderful grace and knowledge, which again builds that wondrous faith and believing in our life. And again, I want to point out this as well too. This isn't any new doctrine. We have the doctrine. We have the Word. This is just bringing it into more light. I appreciate when the Lord has me studying, even this week again. It just becomes clear. The vision becomes sharper. It's not that the truth is anything, it's newer, it's just sweeter, it grows bigger, it grows brighter. And it's wonderful. It didn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't have itching ears for something else by the grace of God. I've got it, and I know I have it. I know that I know, because it's His Word. Now, Lord, just bring it in more clearly. Let me just see you more and more of your beauty every single moment. Praise the Lord. All right. So again, it's to the edifying, receiving the edifying of the church. Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? So what are all those for? The Word of God, and speaking in a language that you can understand. I appreciate again Brother Copley, how many times he would comment, all I want to do is give those sheep the cookies on the shelf. I remember when the Lord first had me to give messages. I remember there would be one so sweetly would say, Brother, you bring it so clearly. And I would thank the Lord for that. But then there would be the ones that would come and say, oh, it was so simple. And the Lord encouraged me, oh, well, thank you. Cookies on the shelf. Cookies on the shelf. Last thing I want you to look at you is something like, you know, what just happened? What was that? I want it to hit you square in the heart. Just say, yep, thank God. And it's wonderful when I just see a nod saying, yeah, I know that. But you know what? It just gets sweeter all the time. Praise the Lord. That's what He does. All right, verse 7. And even things without life giving sound. Now, you're going to relate this back to natural things. Whether they're a pipe or a harp or a musical instrument. Except they give a distinction in the sound. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? It's just like a song. If somebody just went over there and started playing something or, you know, just doodling on the keys. Yeah, I understand it's a piano, but I don't understand what it's trying to tell me. It has to be in harmony. It has to have a melody. It has to come out in the right chording and all of those different things. And that's what the Spirit does in our life. There is an order to it. And that's what God does. And that's why by His grace, we seek that wonderful order that He brings into our assembly. We don't want to be willy-nilly. It's not a chaos thing. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of perfection, and He really is. And it's sweet how precious He is in that perfection. So again, verse 8. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? There's that reveille that they play or used to play on the mornings of church camp. And you just say, oh, please don't play that again. But you knew what that was. That reveille was to get up and go eat breakfast. But the reveille, obviously, for the army and stuff, it's wake up. It's time to get ready for battle. So there has to be a distinction in what is being called. And this is the importance of, I am just so thankful in this meeting, and again, all by the grace of God, that we do enjoy the benefit of this wonderful gift of tongues. The interpretation. The beauty of that. Not magnifying anybody. God gives it as He wills. So again, just be quiet and take it. And if it blesses you, wonderful. But what He's doing with it is He's blessing the meeting. He's blessing all of us. Okay? It's not about anybody. Just about Him and what He wants to do. And we get in tune with that, there's going to be some beautiful things that happen in this place. And by His grace, there's beautiful things that are happening in this place. God is on the move, and it's a beautiful thing. So, 9. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Again, I've been aware, and I guess I have seen and witnessed in different places where it was just a madhouse of tongues. I've been in a couple meetings like that. I appreciate that people love the Lord. But what happens is the strange fire starts to come out. And I'm telling you, there's no end in it. I know of churches today. I was just visiting with ones this evening, and a brother brought it to my attention. A church that has, the Lord has allowed to do so much good, but it started going this way. And I'm talking with gifts, where it would be, they would bring up the healing in such a way that it was so self, where they would bring up the tongues, where it was so self. Well, now they're even starting to pray to the saints. This is a Christian church. Shame on them. Go read Romans 1. Go read Romans 1. When you don't give glory to God and you're not thankful for what He's done, you don't realize where you'll go. Maybe you have experienced where you could go. And by the grace of God, thank God that He's brought you back. They were neither hot nor cold, and He spewed them out of His mouth. You can go that far. Yes, you can. One generation, brothers and sisters, that's all it takes. I've seen it in families. I was encouraging a lady in my home today. I said, you realize it's one generation that encourages also towards the things of God. Just one. Talking about kids. And I said, you know, honey, I said, I think first and foremost, the thing that we need to do as parents, get them into the house of the Lord. Get yourself in the house of the Lord. Get the Word of God in your life. Get the Word of God in these lives. Then all that other stuff, it'll come. Education, wonderful thing. Encouraging her to, you know, she's been many years of welfare and different things in her life. She'd love to break out of it. Said, first and foremost, the Word of God. And then I said, set that goal on college for every single one of them. Don't be defeated. You can do it. God will enable you. You can get those things. That's a wonderful thing what God can do. But it takes one step of faith. And I believe it. If He be for me, who could be against me? I saw my grandmother, by the grace of God, and I'm talking on my dad's side. Those people here today, and I'm telling you, and I don't know either, but they don't know what poor is. They don't. They have a system that still helps them. When you were back in the 1920s here, they didn't have any system that helped anybody. They had a system called faith. And you believed your Lord. And you know what? He didn't let you beg and bread. And He gave you incentive to work. To do whatever you needed to do. Nothing was below you. Because you're a Christian anyways. What did the Lord teach us? Get low! Praise God that we can have goals and aspirations, but if He calls you to get low, that's glory. And it is. But I saw it, and it works. And you just build towards those things and build towards in faith, and God knows what He's doing. And all of those kids went to college and got a degree. So I'm just telling you, it can happen. That's what God can do. All right, so verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices, so many languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Again, I think how important our speech is. Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every word is important, brothers and sisters. You'll never get them back. And sometimes we never have a chance to say them again either, too. Think of that. Let that Spirit give you intercession. Have a boldness in the things of God. That when He causes you to have utterance, don't stop it. Go with it. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't try to factor in, well, how is that going to hurt or benefit me in my job? If He's telling you to speak the truth in love, speak the truth in love. Okay? Praise God. All right. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning or the power of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian. We don't understand one another. and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So this is again these tongues without an interpretation in the church. It doesn't work because it's not edifying to the spiritual body. What it's promoting is confusion. We come as barbarians one to another. Paul back in Acts, he ended up on an island, and there were barbarians there. But God came in a special way and gave him, doesn't necessarily say in a sense the utterance, but I believe that God did. He was able to communicate the word of God to them. They came to him for healings and things of that nature. So they knew that God was moving there. That was the Spirit. And this is what he's calling us to, is be in spirit with these spiritual gifts, and they will promote spiritual growth for everyone involved. Praise God. See, the enemy, all he wants to do is continue to turn these things around, like was so evident there in Corinth. All right, so verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, again, a good thing, we want that, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So with these gifts, what you're to seek for is to edify, promote spiritual growth in the church. They're not for you individually. They're not for you to walk around and say, well, look at me, I'm the prophet. And let me tell you something, there's people that do that, and there's a many of them. They even get the title, I'm prophet so-and-so. Oh my, oh my. I must decrease so he can increase. If he's going to increase in my life, I got to get out of the way. I have the gift of tongues and interpretation, all of those things. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. It's just a benefit and a gift to the assembly. We're all benefiting equally from it when we enter into that unity that he wants us to have. Verse 13. Here we go. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And again, I think this is the evidence of how this infilling, now we need to pray for the gift. So praise God that we can have this infilling in our life. And I remember that as a kid, the Lord said, now son, you have the infilling because you have the evidence of speaking in tongues. And he encouraged me as a young man, pray for the gift that you can actually pray in tongues and interpret. Isn't that precious? That's what he's calling you to. I think that's so evident here, is showing the distinction between the two. So we need to know, again, in the church, so that we can benefit the body at this time. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, which is a wonderful thing, but my understanding is unfruitful. And here it is. What is it then? He's asking the question. So I've given you the answer, but let's just bring it down and make it real short and sweet. What is this tongues that we're talking about? What is this gift of tongues? This is the question. And he's going to answer it in one sentence. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. That is the gift of tongues. It's right there. I pray, I have the understanding or the interpretation to edify the body. That is the gift. So simply put. All right? Then, it goes on to say, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So again, I'm not encouraging this, but if somebody starts off singing here with the Spirit, don't wear it out. It's okay. As long as it's in the Spirit, because we'll get an interpretation, maybe in song. Wouldn't that be a sweet thing? How about we just rely on the Word of God? Huh? Not rely on how I'm feeling or I've never seen that before. Let's just go with what the Word of God says. All right? Not that we're trying to promote anything. I've seen some people that the Lord has given such a sweet praise and have heard them before, and I really believe such harmony was going out there in praising and having tongues come upon them in a song. And I know some people just didn't like that. But I never heard that before. You know what? Just pray that it is what the Lord wants. How's that? Huh? Pray for yourself. Okay? It'll be in harmony that way. And God knows what He wants to do. Okay. 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen? So again, this understanding is so important. This knowledge of the Word of God is what he's bringing out here. That is the very first gift that it talked about here, was the gift of understanding, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. Remember that back in chapter 12, verse 8? For one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. That's how we want to start out. That's what we want to continue to grow in, is that wonderful knowledge of the Word of God, because that ties right back into prophecy, which is the Word, and that's tying right back into these tongues, which is, that's the importance of understanding what's being said, because it's God's Word. It's being built in our life, and it's being anointed by the Holy Spirit. So how incredible to be in that perfect harmony and to get that kind of a blessing. We all are blessed. We understand that. So many of the ones, I think of the different brothers and sisters in this meeting that have that gift. Not to promote the gift, but by the grace of God to just yield to the Spirit. And how precious it is. All right. So he says there, amen at thy giving of thanks. Back there in the 16th verse. Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Oh my. Now listen to this. I thank my God. This is Brother Paul in the verse 18. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now here for a moment, he goes back and he's talking about the infilling in his life. He's talking about the speaking of tongues in his prayer language unto the Lord. And he's saying, I am so thankful to the Lord that I speak with tongues more than ye all. And that, brothers and sisters, goes back to a message not too long ago that the Lord laid on my heart about being full of the Holy Ghost. This is one of the wonderful, beautiful languages that we have with God. When our words cease, I understand in faith that I can step into a gift that He has given me in absolute love that I can love Him with. And I can sense that love in my spirit. I know it's there. And in believing Him, it is beautiful. And from time to time, as a special gift, He'll let me know some of those words too. But for the most part, it's just as Brother Paul said here, I just rejoice that I speak more than ye all. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So he again is bringing out the importance of a spirit-filled life. A life that is full of the Holy Ghost. Just like Barnabas. He knew he was a precious brother because he was full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't on the scene. He wasn't one of the disciples. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost. He knew that there was something that could be used in that life. Praise God. All right. So I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet, now listen to what he says here. In the church. So again, he's speaking of right there in 18. He's thankful that he speaks in tongues more than y'all, but it's not in the church. This is in his prayer language. This is when he's worshiping the Lord individually. But now he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak just 5 words. And I appreciate he says 5 there. That's the very grace of God. With my understanding, not for his sake. He didn't want the understanding for his sake. That by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. The 5 words in understanding was for, again, the church, to edify his brothers and sisters in Christ. He came together with them. That's the love that we need to have. When we have that love and you've been given spiritual gifts, you will use them in the Spirit. Isn't that precious? See, you don't need to fret about these things. You don't need to wonder. He's not a God of confusion. Just yield. And that love, and that is the barometer, if you want to say, is this for, by the grace of God, in a sense, is this the Lord coming through me? Is that love? Do I know that I'm following after love, that it's the love for all the saints of what He's doing here? If there was ever a time a gift was being promoted in my life or brought into my life, But I felt that I was getting the acknowledgement. By the grace of God, I hope I'd stop. Because that's not what the gift is for. It's love. It's for the congregation. All right. So that by my voice I might teach others, then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the tongue always needs to be with an interpreter to be that gift of tongues. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice or in wickedness, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. I think it's interesting how Paul brings that up. These Corinth saints, I'm telling you, man, they were in a bad way. And he had to even remind them. You got to grow up, but not just grow up. You got to get rid of that wickedness. There was so much malice going on with these gifts. They were going so awry with these gifts that it was turning into spiritual wickedness in a lot of ways. Because things were not edifying one another. There were divisions that were happening in the church. They were going off. Remember, it says, all things are okay for me to do. That was their motto. Come on. You can see where that went. And this is what was going on there. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Back there in Isaiah he wrote that. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Oh, praise God. There was that sign in Acts 2:6. Not to them that believe. Remember those ones that sat there and they said, aren't these unlearned men? Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Isn't that wonderful? So again, and I do remember there was a time I was up at church camp at Glacier View. And just a young man, the last time I think I went there was about when I was 14. And I remember that the Lord just came upon me and there was a little cabin that was empty and I just went in there to pray. And the Lord was filling me and it was just so precious to pray in tongues. And I was just by myself, I thought. And these people came in there that were looking at the camp. And I just remember them saying, oh, those are tongues that boy's praying in. And I always thought that was a sign to them that believe maybe not that Jesus is real. Maybe they didn't believe that spirit was true. To maybe see a young man by himself, not to praise me in any way, shape or form. But there was a young boy just by himself. Others were maybe having some fun. I don't remember why the Lord came upon me at that time, but I know that there was a witness there, wasn't there? You see? There was testimony there. I didn't know those people would walk in there. But I remember what I heard, and it always stuck with me. And it validated this verse. That maybe they were unbelievers. Maybe they just didn't believe that the gifts were for today. Maybe they didn't believe in a sense when I'm saying the gift of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't want to confuse anybody. But they were listening to that. And they heard it. And there was something convicted there from what I heard them say. Isn't that wonderful? And I remember that so well. All right. So again, wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, or this word of God going forward, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And it is true. I think that God has given us so much of the depth of His prophecy in this place. And I'll tell you what, the ones that believe not that come in here, it's that confused look. What in the world are they doing in there? That's got to be a cult, huh? Heard it many a time. Just know your Bible. It's not. Absolutely not. Praise God, we're just in love with Jesus by His grace. All right, going on, verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Let's keep reading the 24th verse. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, of one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Now, in some respects, some people think, well, didn't that just contradict what the Lord just said in verse 22? Let's just break this down, because I think it's important to understand here. So again, we understood in verse 22 that tongues were a sign for them that believe not, that prophecy was a sign for them which believe. But we go down to verse 23 here again, and it says, therefore, if the whole church be come together into one place, so here we are, we're together, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, won't they say they're mad? Well, wait a second, you're saying up there that it was for me that believed not. But here's what it's saying, and it's better read this way, that are unlearned because they're faithless. That word unbelievers there is translated as faithless. This means these have no faith. They will never have any faith. They'll have no belief in the Word of God whatsoever. They will say that ye are mad. Again, this is like Hebrews 4:2, where it says the Word without being mixed with faith, it didn't profit them anything. The Word of God has to be mixed with faith. Period. Or it has no effect. But in verse 24, it says, but if all prophesy, and it come in one that believes not because of what? Not because of being faithless, but because they're unlearned. Okay? Now this is a life that's open to receive, but yet is not a believer as of yet. That's a whole different person, isn't it? You can be unlearned because you're faithless. And that's not a good place to be in. Because you're never going to be learned, and if you're faithless, you're never going to be a believer. But if you're faithless because you're unlearned, and you hear the Word of God, what it's saying here, that's a good place to be. Because God is faithful to those that will believe. And just because they're unlearned, yeah, they're unfaith, they're faithless in a sense, but it's because they're unlearned. And now the Word of God is coming to them to believe. Do you see the difference there? Hope that makes that somewhat clear. I appreciated kind of studying that out again. I remember it a long time back. And I never want you to think that the Word of God ever would contradict itself. It's just substantiating of what the power of the Lord can do. So again, the believer receives because of faith, unlike the one in verse 23. In verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. There goes the Word of God, cutting right to the heart. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, that ye come together? I love Paul saying this. And every one of you has a psalm, and every one hath a doctrine, and every one hath a tongue, and every one hath a revelation, and every one has a interpretation. Could you imagine going to a church like that? Oh my. You ever think about maybe what Brother Hill went through over the years? And maybe by the grace of God, as the Lord used him to build a church, I think there were some things that maybe he had to battle against. So again, to be thankful for some of those things. And I remember him telling some stories every once in a while of different ones that were just going to come in here and do what they wanted to do. But the Lord gave him wisdom. He prayed for wisdom. And we want to speak truth and love. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, we need to stand and stand in defense of what we have, of this wonderful gospel and truth. So he's saying here, it's kind of interesting that all of you have this gift. I guess you guys just all get it because you're just so good. You're just so spiritual that every single one of you have it. But yet, I believe in Chapter 12, we read, God gives as he will. Okay? So that's why Paul was being just a little facetious there and skeptical. So again, the self-glory that was going around there, what it was doing was promoting confusion. He says, let me tell you something here. Let all things be done unto edifying. Do you see how simply he just puts it? It's all about spiritual growth. That's all this meeting by the grace of God is about. It's as simple as it is. What do you do here? By His grace, we promote spiritual growth because of the Spirit. And that's done in truth and love. And that's done in growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's growing in His love. But it all ties back and is in His Word. And that's what it all is. So You can see how many times he says the same thing over and over and over in Corinthians, but throughout the Word of God. So people say, what are you about? I'm about spiritually growing up. Isn't that what he's saying? Yes, amen. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three. And that by course or in turn. So you could have two or three different ones in order, one at a time, is what it's saying here, speaking in tongues. But how many are interpreting? One. One gives that word in understanding. One ministers that word, even in prophecy. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. So the gift's not going on. That's the thing. The gift isn't complete. It's not a gift unless we have the interpretation. Do you see how clear this is again? Why would he stop a gift that would be profitable? A gift, remember we had to understand this, the gift is for spiritual edification. So the gift of tongues has to have an interpreter for it to be the gift of tongues. Because it has to spiritually edify the church. So again and again, how many verses do we have to read here that this has nothing to do with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence of speaking in tongues when we come and worship, whether it's in our home, in our car, or by the grace of God up here when we pray on a Friday night, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever you come up to worship, and He, again, allows you to speak in that wonderful tongue. It's so clear. I pray it is. All right. So let him keep quiet, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So again, there always is this wonderful order. There's not this confusion of everybody just going at it. This is God speaking. And it's always going to be in clarity. And I'm telling you, immediately when, by His grace, if you ever see this or sense this type of thing going on, you'll know immediately as knowing the Word of God, that's God's not in that. It might have been in a big fanfare. They may have had lights wooing all over the place. There might be 10,000 people in a stadium. But if that's going on, God's not in it. He's not in confusion. He's not in anything that's against His Word. He's not. Sorry if it makes you feel bad, but in a way I'm glad if it does. Get convicted. And know the perfect way what God is bringing to us. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So again, we need to be a yielded vessel. Seek God's order in this. For God, here we go in verse 33, is not the author of confusion, but what is the author of? Peace. He's the author of peace. I think that's so wonderful in my entire life. Whenever I feel confused, I know that I'm not yielding. Perfect peace. It's perfect peace. I want to yield to You, Lord. I don't want confusion in my life. That doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to know exactly what the answer is, but I really do know what the answer is. It's Jesus. And it is. And I just want to believe that. And that's the peace that floods my soul. Everything else is out of whack. I understand it's just Jesus that He wants me to focus on, and He will bring that peace. As in all churches of the saints. Brothers and sisters, I want to stay on this for about 10 more minutes. I pray that you can bear with me. But I'd like to finish the 14th chapter this evening. Okay? And this is kind of a fun part anyways. I could really get fun with this one, but it's all right. But we want to stay in the Word of God, and it is fun. Praise the Lord. All right, verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches. All right, now. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If I was a woman and somebody just pulled that verse out and I did not know the Word of God, I don't know if I'd want to go to church. I'm not kidding you. But this is why we need to know the Word of God. And I'm so thankful what we've already studied here, because in the 11th chapter in the 5th verse, let's go back and be reminded of that verse real quick. But every woman that prays or prophesies, this is talking about in the church, with her head uncovered, dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Okay. why would it even say or invite women to pray or prophesy in the church? It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's precious. God wants that to happen in His time and under His hand, and if He allows that to be that way. Okay? What it's speaking of here is there were so many things that were going wrong in the church of Corinth. Another one of their problems, and we already addressed this before, that women's liberation thing. Let me tell you something, ladies. You've been liberated in Christ. I hope you appreciate that and just dwell in that. But what really was happened was it was really a bondage. But they were trying to usurp authority even in their natural being as a woman. Remember, they were trying to compete with men? Remember how we brought that out? Even in the games, they used to have those athletic games. The women started competing with the men. Women did not want to marry men anymore. This was rampant in Rome. And people were not taking the place that God ordained them to take. Well, you know what? Start reading the Word of God and you're going to have unnatural affection again. It's already here again. It's just going to wax worse and worse and worse. But this was going on in society, and it was going on in their church. It was starting to come into the Christian church, and it's in the Christian church even today. And what was going on here is that these women, or these groups of women, were usurping their authority. They were bringing their authority not just over men. They were bringing their authority, or trying to have authority, over God and His will. And God's will was to them to keep, that word is not silence, it's peace. And we just read what peace is. He's the author of peace, and the peace is in His Word, and the peace is with us yielding and being in harmony with His Spirit. So these women were not keeping the peace in the church. They were speaking out of turn, is what they were doing. And this word speak here means to chatter. I don't know what was going on. Maybe during the service they were back there in a group and they were all talking. Maybe they were, again, speaking in tongues out of order in the church. Maybe they were speaking out at a testimony time or whatever. Or maybe as the pastor was giving the word, they would stand up and challenge or start talking and taking on the meeting. I've heard of people doing that. There's an order. And God divinely has a vessel for that time and that moment. And that's what He uses. But these women, this has nothing to do, ladies, with you being quiet in a church. Nothing. There are wonderful women pastors. Sister Bodie was a wonderful anointed pastor. There's wonderful women teachers, song leaders, whatever it is. But whether it's a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. Don't usurp God's authority. Men do it just as much, if not more so, than women. They covet places that God doesn't want them to take because they think that they need to be seen or heard. It's wonderful to have the knowledge of the Lord. It's precious to have the Word of God. Grow in grace and knowledge. Every single one of us need to come into that fullness knowledge of His truth. That's what we're called to. But we're not all called to be, in a sense, the one that's prophesying the Word of God in the meeting. And if you take that place and it's not for you, you're not in harmony with God. You're not receiving the best that He has. So I want us to understand, this is speaking to men as much as it is to women. But ladies, absolutely, go back to the 11th chapter and understand, God is calling you as women, that it is not a shameful thing ever to prophesy or pray in the church, but do have that covering on. I had to get that in. Okay. All right. So, they are commanded to be under obedience. So again, these women were not teachable. You always want to be somebody that was teachable, that is teachable. They weren't subject to Christ and what He wanted to have happen here. Verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. This again, this husband, this speaks of the subjection that we talked about the covering. That's that symbolic, that sign of being subject to God. Allow Him to work. Don't let society tell you who you need to be. I already know who you are. You're a new creation. And I already know if you're a child of God, you died, but yet you live and Christ lives in you. Amen. And you just need to grow up into who you are and quit denying who you are and read about who you are and submit to it and glory in it. And if God has made you a woman, be thankful. Be thankful to be a woman. There's glory in being a woman. Unlike even to a man, there's such glory in being a woman. I know women that want to be men. Really, they do. Not necessarily in a sense physically, but they want to act like a man. Be a woman. Be that lady that God has called you to be. Really. Doesn't mean that you're weak. There's such strength in that. And men, be a man. Yeah. Out of stuff here. Now, the Lord will bring it out if He wants to later on. All right. For it is a shame for women to chatter or usurp authority in the church. So men and women get our authority from God. Verse 36, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? I love Paul. This guy was sharp. Oh, was he sharp. And he gave him a barb every once in a while, but it was a barb of love. He was waking him up. Oh, you guys, you already know everything. I'm just thankful for the love of God in his life, because if it was probably you, if it was me, I would have probably just turned to walk. Lord, you can have him. Just give him over to their puffed up, self-righteous, know-it-all. Take him. But not Paul. And that was only God. Remember, this is the guy that said, however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. And then he had to say it again to himself. He did. It wasn't. He had to definitely remind himself again on that one. All right. So, in that too, remember, Priscilla had the gift of teaching, ladies. Philip's daughters, they were prophets. Don't let the enemy, because it's just the enemy, even though it's a stupid person, usually a guy, that might tell you, oh, women are supposed to get married. You know, they're... All right. Remember, you're not wrestling them. Let the word and the love of God just roll right over them, huh? With your car. All right. 37, I'm just kidding you. Okay. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, so if you think you're spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I think so many people, again, that I've visited with throughout my life that are Christians, they don't want to take these things that Paul spoke as the commandments of the Lord. These are the commandments of the Lord. It's not the Ten Commandments. The commandments are what is Paul's epistles. Are you reading this? We're called to love, first and foremost, and that's what is everything about this. But these are the commandments. This is what we're under right now. Paul's epistle. This is the age of grace. This is the time to grow up, to be ready to be a bride, making herself ready by His grace. So many wonderful little things that mean so much in each one of these verses. So again, the importance of Paul's epistles here. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Just again, you're going to refuse instruction. You're just going to remain ignorant. I love Apollos. That was a very gifted brother. He could speak. Brother Paul was probably not an eloquent speaker. He put people to sleep. Huh? Know your word. And he even acknowledged that Apollos, he had that gift. And he was a man that could come in there because of his traits and characteristics. He could probably mesmerize in a lot of ways a crowd. He could really win them over with his voice. He was very interesting to listen to. Very dynamic. But yet there he was, and he wasn't so caught up into himself. He let this little odd couple show him a way more perfectly, didn't he? He wasn't going to stay ignorant. He said, I know there's something more. I know this isn't about me. I know there's something greater than men and women getting excited about something I have maybe in my nature to be excited about. But I have something about Jesus that was instilled to me by these people that no one ever knew, probably never took knowledge about, but that knew the depths of the grace of God. Always be that kind of person, brothers and sisters. Don't ever allow the enemy to puff you up. I know Christians that don't come into this place anymore. Whether it was recent, whether it's years ago. Oh, I already know it. Oh, brother so-and-so can't teach me anything. No, I couldn't teach you anything. I can't teach you anything. But I know God can. Amen. And I know God's working through me. And in that, brothers and sisters, I can say, through His vessel, He can teach you things. And don't ever forget it. And by the grace of God, when there's other brothers and sisters that come to this pulpit and come forth in the Word of God, and I believe we're in harmony, they can teach you something. They can. You may prevent it, but you could have received something. Got quiet. All right. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Wonderful. The Word of God. And forbid not to speak with tongues. Mark 16:17 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And this is the sign. I'd like to just state very quickly here as well too. And I appreciate you being patient in finishing this. But you have to think of the people that believe that, again, that the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues, that was just for that day, in a sense, at Pentecost, because they needed to get the ability to speak to other people in their languages. And how foolish that is. Because 10 years later, they were filled in Cornelius's home. 20 years later, they were filled at Corinth and Ephesus. And it wasn't at all to give other languages to promote the gospel. It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. And brothers and sisters, it's alive and well today. And praise God for those brothers and sisters that were there at Azusa Street so many years ago at the turn of the century that said, yes, Lord, I believe. Isn't that precious? That's all it took. It's all it'll ever take in your life. Yes, Lord, I believe. So let all things be done decently. I love that word. To be a decent Christian. In order. In His will. Praise God. And that's what He's called us to. Last thought I'll give you is in Revelation 2:7. And to all the churches He says this to. It says, he that hath an ear, listen to what that Spirit saith. That was to every one of the churches. He that hath an ear, listen to what the Spirit says. The epistles are for the Spirit-filled. If you're ever going to have a ear to what the Spirit says, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be willing, by the grace of God, to submit into that wonderful Spirit and allow Him to grow in our lives. I pray this has done you good, and I appreciate your patience this evening, brothers and sisters, because I don't know, Lord willing, next Wednesday if I'll be here or not. You don't know if you'll be here or not either. But I do know if we have a chance to come, let's get in here, because it'll be a good thing. So let's stand.